understand that, you know, this is somebody who is like an uncle to me. He's somebody who helped me find Christ.
Barack knows what it means to be a black man living in a country that is controlled by rich white people.
Michelle and I told Reverend Otis Moss that we were withdrawing as members of Trinity. United Church of Christ, my home church.
I believe there's an almighty God who speaks to different faiths.
And I believe we worship the same God. Islam is peace.
I am awed and honored and humbled to have been elected by my sister and brother bishops in the Episcopal Church.
In this hour of Issues, Etc., we're going to be spending a little time with Congressman John Shimkus, talking to him about Washington, what's going on there, gas prices, 2008 election, the war in Iraq. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome to Issues, Etc. You can join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 1-877-623-6943, or email us here in the studio as we talk with Congressman Shimkus. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Then after about 10 minutes with the congressman, we'll talk with Dr. Paul Meyer for the remainder of this hour about the historicity of Christianity. Dr. Meyer is author of numerous books, including In the Fullness of Time, and he's professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Congressman John Shimkus is a regular guest. He's a good friend. And boy, have you been helpful to us over the last 3 months. In fact, we've said many times we kind of owe our present digs to you and the friendship that you appear to have with a landlord here in Collinsville, because this was tailor-made for what we needed when we needed it. Thank you so much for coming on the program, and thanks for all your help in the last couple of months. You've had your staff make phone calls and deal with some of the bureaucracy in Washington and things like that on matters pertaining to our program. It's been great.
Well, don't ask anybody to come by and see your studios, because I mean, it's like a little rebel cell here. I feel like I'm in an insurgency here. It's very exciting. We're very proud to have you back on the air doing the things I think that God has given you and Jeff a great talent to do, and we're just happy and to be able to play a small part in that.
I wanted to tell you, though, personally, how much it meant to get several phone calls from you, unsolicited. I didn't have to call you. You called me. You called Jeff shortly after the show was canceled the first time to express your concerns, to offer your help, and that meant amidst the hundreds, and I don't exaggerate when I say hundreds of phone calls we were getting, among those many who were calling us, it really stood out to me to know that you were paying attention to what was going on.
Well, my heart was burdened. I'm on shows. This is very much like a parochial Lutheran Christian education, in that you can talk issues all you want. You can go to great public schools. The benefit of Christian schools, and I believe Lutheran education, is that there is more freedom in that environment, because you can profess Christ and you can bring in Christianity in the historical world history environment and the evolution of where we've been today as a people. And for those of us of faith, it's very difficult, if not impossible. You can't really separate the two.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
So you do that here. That's why it's exciting.
Thank you.
To talk public policy with the foundation of a similar belief in the saving grace of Jesus Christ.
Before we came on the air, I asked you what was the biggest complaint you were getting from the people that you serve in the 19th. It's the 19th, am I correct? Yes.
That's right.
In the 19th in Southern Illinois.
And you're in the 19th right now.
I know.
About time we got you over here.
And you said energy prices. Congressman, why are gas prices so high?
Well, it's simple economics 101, supply and demand. Historically, there have been two major regions of the world that demanded the energy resources of the world, and that was Europe and the United States. Now we have two new additional major bidders for that energy. That's China and India. And so we are not producing as much to meet the needs of these now four great consumers. And they're bidding on that super tanker of crude oil, and they're bidding the price up.
So it is that simple, as those who have the ability to supply oil to the world have more people with more money willing to pay more for the oil that they're supplying.
Yeah, I think in China you're going to have, over the next couple of years, I mean, just people remember this, people of our era. Look at the 60s and you've got the pictures of China, and what'd you see? A sea of bicycles. Now what do you see? You see a sea of cars. Giving the world the opportunity for growth, growing a middle class through free market competition, really is built on the back of a low-cost energy and fossil fuels. And China is using that to develop its middle class, and India is using that to develop theirs. There used to be about 8 million barrels of excess oil on the market and every day. Now there's only 1.5. One little hiccup causes that to be thrown off. And so that's why we're in the position. Now the question is, what do we do short-term, and what do we do long-term? Short-term, let's deal with that, because that's what people really want to know. I can't deal with this. And for a politician to come and say, you know, we're going to be able to drop it by a dollar overnight based upon our policies, they're lying to you. There's no short-term solution other than individual conservation. People are making those tough decisions right now. I know, and that's what really got me involved. My wife has to shepherd our three boys in three different directions every night. Mm-hmm. And I've been hearing about these prices now for 4 months. Finally, I started really raising it in Washington and in the Republican side. We've taken up this call. The other thing, so anyway, conservation from the individual consumer. And the second thing is, and it's tied to the long-term solution, is to really make a major announcement that we're going to exploit our natural resources. So we need to do that. That's OCS, that's ANWR, that's the Eastern Gulf, and then the royalties we get from that exploration, we can move that into solar and wind and have a pot of money to help decrease our reliance on imported crude oil.
Is the war in Iraq and John McCain's support for the war in Iraq, as many think it will, is it going to lose him the election in 2008, his support for the war in Iraq, and I guess you could say by extension, Afghanistan?
Well, I think even most Democrats are supportive of the campaign in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
John McCain ought to be applauded for speaking the truth when Bush went into the war with not enough troops.
Mm-hmm.
And McCain should be supported for being one of the few members of the U.S. Senate that supported the surge. The surge has brought stability. It has brought reconstruction. And it is really now the first opportunity. Look, the Iraqi government just took over El Anbar province. I mean, that's who would have ever thought. The surge has been very, very successful. And now it's always going to be a tough region of the world, and people want to destabilize it. But if he loses, it's not going to be on Iraq.
How has the meteoric rise of Barack Obama affected the climate of Washington? Someone who, in some senses, came out of nowhere to suddenly be an amazing fundraiser and apparently an amazing campaigner. How has that affected the mood of Washington, especially the Republican Party, going into the 2008 elections?
Well, I think there's areas of the country where he's going to do very, very well. He's going to do well in the suburbs. He's going to do well in university communities. So those states that have big areas like that, plus those states that have those members of Congress who are in those areas, going to raise a major concern.
Two questions before we run out of time. First of all, on the issue of gay marriage in California, big story that's just broken, is there going to be some federal legislation to try and forestall that kind of activity on the part of the state?
Not with a Democrat-controlled Congress. I mean, there's no way. They support it. So had the Republicans remained in control, you would definitely see a move. Now, there'll be bills. There'll be proposed constitutional amendments. I'll be supportive.